Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. And of course, when we talk Halloween on our show, that means the one and only beautiful Leslie Eastman, who's going to be joining us as she always does. I think this is our fifth or our sixth consecutive show, and they're just absolutely wonderful to chat with Leslie about Halloween. Well, I can tell you this, it was 33 when we woke up. It felt like 23, and it's going to be in the 50s this afternoon. So I guess this is a wonderful day to talk about Halloween. It's going to be sunshine all afternoon. So the families and the kids who go out trick-or-treating, they'll have a beautiful day to do the trick-or-treating. Today we're going to talk about three things. We'll talk about Halloween and what it means to Leslie. We're also going to talk about this impeachment vote in the House of Representatives today. Not really an impeachment vote. Let's make sure that we explain that correctly. It's just a, whatever it is, it's not an impeachment vote. And then finally, a sad topic, but I want to hear Leslie's thoughts on this, and that is what's happening in California with these fires. Just an absolutely terrible situation. So let me say happy Halloween to the one and only Leslie. How are you, Leslie?
Well, happy to be with you on official Halloween, and happy Halloween to your audience. And I'm really thrilled to be here today, enjoying my favorite holiday of the year with my favorite talk show hosting the entire planet.
Well, thank you so much. It's so much fun. I mean, you know, when we started this, I think we started this in either 2013 or 2014. I know we've done it the last 4 or 5 years, but I think going back to 13 when we started this. And
yes, it was 13.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for me because I'm learning so much about Halloween. You know, as I'm sure you know, I came here when I was 12. So I was introduced to Halloween, you know, a little later than most kids are. And it's always been a holiday for me, at least, for a lot of fun. Now, as you get older, of course, it doesn't have the same trick-or-treating experience that it does when you're 5 or 6 or whatever, but it's still a very cool holiday. Why don't we do this? Why don't you bring us up to date a little bit on your wonderful son, who I believe is going to pursue a career in the service, and just bring us up to date with legal insurrection and everything else, Leslie.
All right, let me start with my son and then work backwards. Blake is now a senior in high school, and we're doing the college application process, and he's just completed his application for the U.S. Air Force Academy. So I'm hoping everybody who listens gives a prayer positive vibe to my son's getting an appointment to the academy. But as a backup, he's also applying for our Air Force ROTC scholarship, and then he'll have a choice of colleges to attend that have a detachment. So he's looking to be an officer in the Air Force at the end of his stint in college with a degree in physics or some other science/engineering. So it's very exciting. He's very much a young leader, officer, and a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more proud of him. And you know what's nice is that he is now his class rank. He's 2 out of 313 in his high school, which is again really thrilling. But I haven't had to nag him or remind him of homework or you know do anything other than take him to wherever his activities are. He's very self motivated, and he's got a lot of friends who really respect and admire him. And he's done this all on his own. So I couldn't be prouder of my boy, and just hoping for an extra layer of prayers that wherever he lands up, it really is the best fit for him.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And of course, you know, some of us have seen his pictures. He's a very handsome young man as well. Where did he get, I'm just curious, where did he get the interest to go to the Air Force? Was that something in your family or just something that he got on his own?
My family's had a history of military service. My grandfather was retired as a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army and had served in World War II. And my father and my brother have both served, and it's been in the family, but neither my husband nor I have much military experience. So I think it's just a combination of genetics where he's naturally minded toward that, given his history, and the fact I would take him to, you know, historic European martial arts camps and fencing, and he got exposed. And also, our school has a really wonderful Navy, our junior ROTC program, which really, I think, got him very interested in the military career. It's an exceptionally great program run by two really great men, Chief Feely and then Lieutenant Kelso, who've been just so outstanding as instructors. And I'd like to take a few moments to thank you, Silvio, for donating to Blake's junior ROTC program. We'll send a link to you, maybe if some your readers are so inclined, they'll can donate additionally, because that is It pays for their extra programs. It pays for taking them to their drills and competitions. And the students that come out of this program are so grounded and such, you know, such contributors to the society. And it's really thrilling to see, you know, young adults coming to their own with a love of country, a really good sense of citizenship, and wanting to serve instead of be served. So,
great.
Really,
that's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. That was to me something that I was inspired to do it, because I know how much he's worked to achieve so much at a very young age. I tell you one thing I like to do, if you could tell Blake at some time that, you know, he can join us for a podcast and we can, you know, we can put something down with him explaining what his objectives are and all of that. And I think that would be wonderful for me to hear that, and I'm sure others, and I'm sure you would be very proud to do a podcast with your son. We actually did one, if you remember, Leslie, back in 2012, in November, I think it was, or October. And at the time, I don't think he was doing poly. He was doing something back then, but I know he came on the air with us a little bit back then.
Yeah, no, he was just like, it was like a personal assignment because he needed something to on social media or something to share with class, and we thought it would be fun. And definitely he was very proud because he was the only one who was, you know, interviewed on a podcast, and it was really thrilling for him. And I think when we find out where his college is, you know, we'll have to have him on just to kind of wrap things up. That would be a real thrill for me. Yeah,
that would
it'll happen.
So you let me know when and we will do it. Let me just talk a little bit more about Halloween for a second. As I said, I learned about Halloween a little bit later, having come to the country. We didn't obviously have Halloween. There's a different holiday that Catholics in Latin America celebrate, and that's the Day of the Dead, which is actually November 1st. But that's a totally different thing. It's not Halloween. But I was, you know, I found Halloween coming here, our first year here in the United States. So when did you start practicing Halloween or enjoying Halloween as much as you do? Give us a little story of how you got into it, Leslie.
Oh, I guess it's just like I can't ever remember a time I wasn't excited about Halloween. From the time I was a wee lass, my father would bring out the pumpkin and we would carve it and we'd be thrilling. And I'm sure I couldn't have been more than 3 or 4, you know, going around the houses and trick-or-treating and costume. I've always loved costume. So it's always been a big thing in our house. And it didn't hurt that my father's birthday was October 9th. So it was just one big festivity from the beginning of October to the end. And I must say that tradition sort of continues in his household. We get the decorations up October 1st, and they don't go down until October 31st. And even then, I have a party on the upcoming weekend, so I even think they're going to be extended a couple days, lasting longer in this household than our Christmas decorations.
That's wonderful. That's a great line.
And I think what's kind of interesting for me, I mean, I'm unabashed, you know, any excuse to don a costume, and I'm right there. And so this year is no different. But what I have found is that, you know, a lot of adults share my enthusiasm. So as I have grown up with Halloween, so have my friends around me. And so you've seen Halloween evolve in a lot of interesting directions, where there's more decorations. For example, you can buy orange and purple and Halloween lights to decorate the house. I'm seeing a lot of that. You see adults having more parties or getting together in, you know, block parties while the kids are out trick-or-treating, which is what I'm doing. I'm joining my best friend, and I'm going as Queen Cersei of the Game of Thrones fame, because my hair is just the perfect match for her hairstyle as the end final season queen. So I'm going as that this year, and she drinks wine, so I'm all set. But you know, it's like, it's a, you know, kids will go on to their own party. So it's become much more of a, I would say it's definitely evolved even during my lifetime, from just one evening where people hand out treats to more of a seasonal thing, which is the start of the big seasonal holidays with much more festivities, much more decorations. And I, as I'm fond of saying, it's all the decorations and none of the stress of Christmas. So
that's right. Well, you don't have to send cards or have people over for dinner. That's the big difference between Halloween and Thanksgiving or Christmas. So
one thing I'd like to point out, and I think I want your listeners to think about this, is pumpkin carving. Back in when I was a kid, you carve them out, you carve an eye, you put a candle in. You were done. But no. Now you've got very fancy and elaborate decorations, decorations that require multiple pumpkins, special lighting with the pumpkins. It's really gone to quite extravagant lengths. So it's even evolved, you know, again over my lifetime. So it's going to be amazing to see what will happen in the next couple of decades as my son begins to have his own family, and what the next generation does with it.
Yeah, I know one of my fun things to do is to go back and look at some of the photos of our sons when they were, you know, the different Halloweens over the years. And it's always fun to go back, and because those photos, one of the things about Halloween, like you're saying, it's fun. I mean, it's a fun holiday. I mean, everybody seems to be having fun, the parents, the kids, the neighbors. It's just a fun day, and people enjoy it a great deal. So one more question about Halloween, about your Halloween story, Leslie. Tell me if you can remember your first Halloween costume. What was it?
Well, I think the one that I remember the most was I went as a fairy princess, and it had to have been second grade. And it's because it was my mom gave up one of her fancy evening gowns and sewed it up, and then made a glitter crown using a plastic container and glitter glue. And, you know, because it was one of her evening gowns and it was all pretty and nice, I felt like a real princess in that gown. So that was always my favorite Halloween costume when I was younger. I even think she did a little wand to go with the fairy princess costume.
Well, that's a great memory. And what are you going to do today? What's your plan for today? I know you're dressing up as a queen, but do you go out very far? I mean, how far do you walk?
Well, I don't walk. We're going to set up a table so kids can come by with me and my friends. Are going to each of us have a bowl, and so the kids can swim by the table, and we'll hand the kids their candy, and also sipping wine and visiting and just having a little mini party out as the kids are trick-or-treating. So we'll see how many kids we get this year. Some years it's good. Some years it's not so good. Last year, I think Halloween was a Wednesday, so it was a week. We're hoping for a little bit better, it being Thursday, maybe a little closer to the end of the week, people will be more inspired to get on out.
Yeah, well, here is such a nice day. I mean, it's going to be an absolutely beautiful, it's going to be maybe 52, 53, but it's going to be sunshine, and you know, there's still, it's still light as late as 7 or 7:15, so it doesn't get dark right away as it does some years. Some years, you know, Halloween, if the clock has already changed, it's dark at 5:30, but not this year. The kids are going to have probably till 7 or so to go out, so the parents are going to have a good time, a good time tonight. They can walk quite a bit. Something that happens here, Leslie, and tell me if this happens out in San Diego too, a lot of the stores will open up and literally have candy for the kids so they can walk inside. And that comes in very handy in some parts of the country where on a day like this, you could have snow or you could have, you know, rain or just cold temperatures. I mean, it would have been very difficult for us, let's say, to have Halloween yesterday, because yesterday it was raining all day and it was pretty chilly in the afternoon. So yesterday would have been a great day to go indoors and do Halloween. But today, I mean, it's great outside. So do the stores in San Diego actually invite kids in, Leslie?
I'm not sure. I think there are cases of that happening because, you know, people, you know, just because it's easier and mm-hmm. you know, some stores may offer that or some malls. I'm not certain because that's not something we need to pay attention to.
Sure.
I mean, our big concern, of course, being in California is that there's no wildfire, you know, out there.
Yeah.
And there's power.
Right. Yes. And that's a serious matter, especially this year, that, you know, that unfortunately is life in California 2019. Leslie, let me take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get into impeachment and the fires out there. So let me take a quick break. I want you to hear the music of my good friend Carlos Gevis, and we'll be right back. Happy Halloween. A little bit of music there from my friend Carlos Gevis. We have a link on the show information to his website. It has all the schedule of where he's going to be in the Dallas area. Great musician. He's originally from Venezuela, and this is the harp. He's playing the harp, actually. That's what you're hearing in these little bits that we play on the show. So check out Carlos. I'm sure he's playing somewhere tonight for Halloween. In fact, I think he's playing at that very famous Spanish restaurant. So you may want to double check that on his website. Let's get back to our friend Leslie Eastman. I know, Leslie, in your younger days, you were a dancer. So I'm sure you enjoy some of these Latin rhythms that we play on the show once in a while.
Absolutely. Well, he's such a talent. It's a real pleasure hearing the snippet. So
really a talented. Yeah, he's just great. I mean, he's very creative. I mean, I know we have our mutual friend Joanne, who plays the harp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done some shows with her, and of course, she plays an entirely different harp, you know, than Carlos. Carlos plays the harp in the middle of Latin music and jazzy music, and it's amazing what he does with it. Well, big vote today in the House of Representatives. Not really an impeachment vote. It's everything but an impeachment vote. It's really, here's what I think it is, Leslie. Tell me if I'm wrong. Here's what I think it is. Imagine that you have a daughter and you say to your daughter, hey, listen, you know, this boyfriend of yours, he keeps talking about Gary getting married, but he never does. He never makes a decision. What's going on? And the daughter says, well, you know, my boyfriend is outlining the different procedures that he's going to use if and when he ever will ask me to marry him. And that's kind of what I think this is. Do you think that's a bad example, Leslie?
Well, you know, I must admit, I am not sure what the end game for the Democrats is. But I'll tell you what I suspect, Silvio. I suspect that a couple things are going on. And one of them is the Democrats want to have their cake and then eat it too. In other words, they want to vote for a formal impeachment, and they have the votes to do it. They could impeach the president today with you know, if they have the votes, if, you know, they could do it today, except they don't want to pay a political penalty for that. And the country is not amused by their impeachment antics. When the House went on break a few weeks ago, part of the reason they did that was to take a poll on how impeachment was playing out with American people, and the answer is obviously not good. So this part here is they're trying to do a couple things. Their Russia hoax failed. Their Ukraine hoax is flailing, and it looks like the whistleblower is connected to ex-Obama administrative official, connected to Brenner, connected to Biden, and just tainted. So it looks like the Ukraine one is going to no-go. And I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think part of what they want to do is impeach President Trump, because I don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to last particularly long. I think she's going to pass away. I think she's got, you know, maybe before the end of the year, but soon. So they're desperate to get Trump tainted with impeachment. So when she passes away, it'll be difficult. They'll make it difficult for him to appoint. I don't think it's going to bother Trump any, but they are playing by the old book of political optics. So I think this particular plan is failing. And another thing that I think is you'll notice Jerry Nadler, who is Mr. Impeachment himself, is kind of been in the background and letting Adam Schiff lead impeachment. I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, I got to say, if you want somebody serious and sober to lead a political process, Adam Schiff would not be my pick. And the Republicans are making a very good case that the entire process is politically tainted up and down.
Right.
And another component, and there's a lot of components going into this, is that the Democrats are running out of time because Durham and Barr are about to bring the legal hammer down on the people who brought us the Russian hoax.
That's right. Those are very good points, Leslie, and I really agree with all of them. I would. It's interesting, if you look at the numbers today, it was like 231-196 or something like that. All Republicans stuck together. Not a single Republican crossed over, which I was happy
to see.
Which
is kind of shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you always expect somebody to crack, but not today. Not today. And then on the other hand, the Democrats did lose two. And you would think, I think they would have lost a lot more if this was actually an impeachment vote. But, you know, there's a couple of ways that this could go, and it's all obviously speculation right now, but this may very well be as far as they're going to go with this, because Nancy Pelosi needed to have an impeachment vote to satisfy this crazy left wing of the party that I think is hurting the party tremendously. So I think she, you know, the Democrats needed to have this vote today. They said, you know, we got to have an impeachment vote. We have to satisfy the crazy people in the party so that, you know, they can say we have an impeachment vote and we impeached them, even though they really didn't. That's one thing. And then on the other hand, Nancy Pelosi is also protecting many of those Democrats in districts like these two who voted against it, and probably another 20 or so more who I think would not have voted for impeachment if in fact it it was an impeachment vote. But I want to quote something from our friend Rick Moran, who writes over at PJ Media. He wrote something today, which is very interesting, and I'm just going to read it. It's very short, but it's, I think, right to the point. He says, quote, "If you're going to overturn the election of a president, you would think that you want a few brave souls from the opposition to at least give the appearance of bipartisanship." And that didn't happen today. I mean, in fact, the only thing, you know, there were two Democrats who went the other way or refused to vote. So I don't know. I think they're going to pay a very heavy price for this, Leslie, because I just don't think the country, is really wants to impeach President Trump. I mean, some people may not like him. They may not like his style. But I think most Americans understand that impeachment was in the Constitution for a very serious situation. This is not one of those. And unless the Democrats have something up their sleeve, and, you know, they may, but unless they do, I think this thing is just going to fall apart for them. It's already really falling apart. It's not really going anywhere, Leslie. That's kind of a long-winded reaction to what you said, Leslie.
Yeah, no. It's because it is so complicated. But you're right. There is no constitutional rule that says if you're unhappy with the election as a bureaucrat, you get mm-hmm. to use the bureaucracy to undo the election. And
right.
I think there was a good article that made the case that we are undergoing a psychological warfare operation on us by the Democrats and the media to wear Trump supporters down because they don't view that Trump was worthy of being the president despite
mm-hmm.
what we voted for. So none of the usual rules apply to him. And so they, playing by their rule book, had set up false narrative that they were going to able to capture and promote and push him out, force him to resign or force an impeachment. But I don't think they expected the like of George Papadopoulos to pay strictly by the rules and
mm-hmm.
to do what he did, nor did they expect Manafort not to break. And then, as an aside, let's take a look at General Flynn,
yes.
Who's been a real hero, and now who has new legal representation in the form of mm-hmm. my latest girl crush, Sidney Powell. And they've bringing charges that the FBI altered and doctored the 302 forms that to put words into Flynn's mouth he never uttered. And it may be that the entire set of charges is thrown out. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see Flynn reinstated in some sort of a position in the Trump administration? So not only is this not going to play out, I think I think Trump has played a long game. I think what Trump has done is taken Durham and Barr and their investigation and is not really releasing anything until everything's done cooking and they have enough material to bring a
right.
full and formal case against whoever they're going to charge. And that ball is just about to drop. And they're also going to clean up Flynn's case and make sure justice is done there. And by the time next November rolls around, the American public will have had just enough of Schiff and his kangaroo court, and there will be such voting to replace the Democrats now holding office that Pelosi will be out. She'll never hold the gavel again. I swear it.
Right. Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think the Democrats, the Republicans have a very good chance of winning the House next year, especially if this thing explodes in the Democrats' faces, as I believe that it will. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I really think this is the end of impeachment. This, I think, as I said before, they needed something. They needed to have a vote just to satisfy the left. But I think this is as far as they're going to go because they really have nothing else. Now, let's go to another topic. And this one is not political, or I guess it could be, but this is really sad, really, because, we look at these pictures on television and we see these fires out there in Southern California. And I don't even know where to start, but let me start by asking you if you and your family are feeling the impact of these fires, Leslie.
Well, fortunately, this year where I'm at, San Diego, not yet. But I say not yet because there is a blaze that is near the border. Now, apparently they've controlled that blaze, but there are fires in Mexico just very close to the border, which could spread up this way. There is a community called Poway that has their power shut off. So in certain sections of California, they have preventative power shutoffs in areas which are getting hit and slammed by the Santa Ana winds. Then I was just reading that in some areas the water's been turned off. It's disturbing because there are so many contributing factors to the problem. But and as I'm fond of saying, you've had fires throughout California's history. But they really only began turning bad in the early 2000s to the extent that they're frighteningly bad and regular. Right. And every October, it's like, oh, my gosh, it's October. It's wildfire season again. And you're praying for that year not to get slammed by a wildfire. And it's because of the poor land management choices and following the eco activists and their mandates for so many years that have led to substantially increased brush and limited access to fire controls and no clearing out of forests through logging. And then on top of that, there have been green energy mandates that our power companies have been forced to implement. So monies have been diverted for following those green energy mandates as opposed to maintenance and repair of our infrastructure or developing infrastructure that actually makes sense, like burying the lines underground instead of having to use the money. And then as an additional bonus, it appears some of the monies from the power companies have been going to line the pockets of our politicians. So, and again, and this is California. There's no Republicans. It's not a bipartisan situation here.
That's
Republicans pretty much have owned the state. At the last Republican governor was barely that. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger, who got booted out, you know, came into office after we booted out Gray Davis. And Schwarzenegger presented himself as a Reagan-esque conservative. But when it was apparent that the left, the progressives, the Democrats in the state were really far gone, were not negotiating, and the propositions didn't pass because we're on a proposition system. Schwarzenegger gave up the coast and just joined the team because, you know, and then went on to have his affairs. And that's our legacy of Republicans. That's the last little Republican leadership that we've had winning meaningful, and that was in the mid-2000s. So we've been struggling a decade now with pure Democrats and for long-term green policies, and our homeless crisis, and some of those fires have started in homeless camps, and disease, and wildfires, and, you know, it's just astonishing. And, you know, I was going to say, probably if the Republican Party, and it was basically the old-fashioned establishment Republicans, gave up on California. But if any of the Trump-inspired new bloods, perhaps inspired by Scott Pressler, the persistence who's been cleaning out Baltimore and who came in and cleaned up sections of Los Angeles, if we can get new, younger, more original-thinking Trumpian leadership, perhaps they can use the 2020 fires, because there'll be 2020 fires, to mount a campaign, run as a party, in other words, not as an office, but run as Newt Gingrich in the 94 Congress, run as a party platform, promising effective and meaningful change if they get into the majority, with very distinct platforms to get our power grid up, our infrastructure fixed, so our dams don't leak, our homeless situation is contained, diseases aren't spreading, and that there's some sort of real sensible land management so we're not facing these wildfires every year.
That's right. No, I agree, and I think more and more people hopefully are starting to realize that this is a problem that, yes, there is a natural reason for the disasters. We've always had those fires before, but now it's been compounded, like you say, by very bad policies where they're just not doing. I mean, it seems like they're more interested in protecting a little piece of whatever animal life there may be under the brushes than they are in protecting cities. I mean, and I think you can do both. You can protect the animal life, but at the same time have better management of the land. I mean, they do it in other parts of the world, Leslie.
Yeah, absolutely. There's balancing that you can do, and it's not all or nothing. And it is the extremist, leftist, progressive dogma that views opposition as evil, that they don't have anything worthwhile to contribute, so you can ignore, deride, demean, and in fact, going back to our first segment here, if the Democrats had been sensible and you appreciated how open Trump was to partnering with them, and if they had bothered to, instead of treat him like a pariah, extended the hand, say, let's get infrastructure going, let's go ahead and do the trade deals together, they could be sharing in the success of the Trump economy and the Trump foreign policy and all the other good things Trump has brought. But instead, they've decided to never Trump resistance, as has California, because Governor Jerry Brown just accused our fires of being on Trump.
Right.
Done nothing other than name call, nothing other than virtue signal, and we are bearing the brunt as a result their poor choices. Good Republicans who are strategically thinking would run in California as a group. They would have a checklist of 10 things they were going to do when they would hit the Senate and this House Assembly and the governorship, and they would be all related to infrastructure and really taking care of the citizens in the country instead of the illegal aliens.
That's right. No, I just think that there has to be, after what we're seeing now, what we're seeing every year with these fires, you would think that enough people are waking up to the fact that forget party, forget ideology. It's a question of results. And the results in California are not very good. If you look at L.A., people who've been to L.A. lately tell me that, it looks like a third world city in many parts of the city. And you look at these fires and you say, this is happening in the United States. I mean, in California, just doesn't make any sense. Now, how long did the fires last? October, November, and then they went away?
Normally, it's when the worst of it comes. Now, they can come in any time. We've had fires of magnitude in May. But generally, it's during the fall, in October, November being the two worst months, that before the wet weather, the colder weather descends on December. Again, you can have them in May. We've had them in May. You can have them other months, but generally when the sand is low, and that generally is in the fall.
Right.
So, a creative Republican Party in California who isn't going the establishment route, hearts and minds and stuff, but it's going to go full-on Trump. They have a great platform they can pick from, and if they group together and run together, they might achieve a success.
Right. Well, I certainly hope so, because if there's a place in the planet that could use a change of government, or at least change of party,
let me mention one thing, because this is important. The people are angry, and this is something you don't hear. But the people of California are angry, and great Gavin Newsom is beginning to look panicky and make excuses, but they are so angry that they are attacking. People are attacking, running off the road, PG&E crewmen. In other words, the employees of the power companies, as they're going out to service, are being derided, harassed, attacked. the anger is being expressed at them. And that's because they can't get to the politicians who are there really upset with. This series of fires, and most dramatically the ones that impacted the Getty Museum and the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library,
yes.
It's even worse up in Northern California where most of these progressives reside because they're power out. They're still out in a lot of areas. People can't talk on the cell phones, can't
mm-hmm.
get food. It's real serious conditions up there, and I don't think that's the first time a lot of these people have dealt with the consequences of their poor choices, choices that I have been fighting against since 2009. So,
right.
Again, we're poised for change here if change can be – and I think Trump, if he could lead an expedition here, could really shake things up.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right about that. One interesting thing or one interesting consequence of all of these power outages is that electric cars apparently are sitting because they cannot be charged. I mean, if
yeah.
you're running an electric car, that's all you can – I mean, you cannot do much with it.
It gets better, Silvio, because you can't run your solar power either because the solar power doesn't go to you. Your solar power you generate goes back to the grid and you get it back.
Oh, I see.
So you
okay,
can't
so
even
that's...
use your –
Yeah, so all of the fantasies are not working.
No, the people who have diesel-run generators, they're the
yes.
ones with power.
Right, yeah. I know, isn't that amazing how all of – and I have to say, I mean, because I don't like to make fun of situations that are – I mean, you sometimes have to chuckle about what's happening out there, but at the same time – you have to come back to the reality that we're talking here about real people who are hurting and being impacted by all of this. I don't know what it would be like to live with the lights going out, you know, like that. I mean, that's what they do in Venezuela. Okay, yeah. I mean, they deal with that down there. But it's hard to believe such a thing is happening in Los Angeles and in California. Leslie, give me a quick summary of what you're writing at Legal Insurrection and what you're working on before we go.
Well, basically, as most readers know, I tend to – I have the beat that includes infectious diseases, California crazy. I follow North Korea. You know, I follow the odds and ends so my teammates can concentrate on all the fun and dramatic stuff like all the impeachment. But I think for your listeners today that my next first article that's most recently published is Congress is considering measure addressing climate refugee crisis. Our Congress, led by the first Puerto Rican congresswoman ever to be voted into the House of Representatives, whose name is Nidia Velasquez, has decided to change the definition of refugee to include climate refugees. And because climate change can mean anything that a climate activist wants, that means they can change that definition to designate up to 50,000 people from wherever they want, wherever they desire to be climate refugees. And in part, this is being done because our border wall is working and the border wall proceeds to go up about a mile a day. And the Mexican troops have substantially reduced the number of people coming through the southern
mm-hmm.
border.
That's right.
So as I point out, Velasquez, constituents are, she's New York 7th, so people
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn and Queens, they're the ones who've sent her on the way, and those illegal immigrants would be first in line to get the kind of jobs people in those districts would probably
right, right.
want. So more
right.
interested in serving the foreigners than serving her constituents. So
yeah.
that's
and
my post today.
Great. Well, we'll check it out as soon as we chat with you. But as always, Leslie, thank you for being a part of our Halloween show. And go ahead and go out and enjoy your Halloween. And tell us about it when you do your reports about your Halloween today.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody have a really fun and super fun. And also a very blessed All Saints Day tomorrow.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's, of course... a Catholic holiday of significant importance. Leslie, have a wonderful day and enjoy your holiday. And again, congratulations to your son and to your family for raising such a great young man.
All right. Thank you, Silvio. Hugs to you and your wife.
Thank you so much. Our friend Leslie Eastman, all the way from San Diego and from Legal Insurrection and lots of other ways, but we have made Leslie our official Halloween guest, and she's always with us when we celebrate Halloween, and we always have a lot of fun. And if you know Leslie on Facebook or some other social media, I'm sure she'll have some photographs of her costume and how she enjoyed Halloween. Thank you for listening, and happy Halloween to all of you. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.